Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review dated Thursday, March 19th, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Bags, Books, and Businesses. Power of the Purse Backs Dolly Parton Imagination Library by Danette Beckett, Mount Zion. Many are anxiously waiting for the opportunity to get dressed up in their spring attire. A new purse might freshen up that look and help local children get new books as well. The United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois will be hosting the premier fundraiser, Power of the Purse. The event will be April 9th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. Tickets are $60 per person. Funds will go towards the Dolly Parton Imagination Library and Youth Opportunity and the local children enrolled in the program. According to Emily Phillips, the United Way's communications and philanthropy director, approximately 100 purses will be auctioned off. Sponsorships and individual donations are helping pay for the purses. We're trying to have all different brands, from Target and TJ Maxx purses, all the way to the Louis Vuitton and Tory Burch and Gucci, Phillips said, most of the popular brands. A few of the purses will include an additional prize, including gift certificates for local services or products. Purses for the younger ladies will have their own display. Sponsored by Milligan University's Future Philanthropists, the handbags will have a juvenile appeal. Participants can bid online for their favorite purses while walking among the merchandise. Organizers of the event are also excited about the event. The local United Way directors learned about the event through the Champagne's Power of the Purse last year. It was the most fun we've ever had at an event, said Debbie Bogle, president of the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois. So we decided to bring it here. The theme of the event is Garden Party Chic, encouraging guests to dress in their favorite spring attire. It's just kind of an elevated, fun night out, Phillips said. The fun isn't just about the purses. Other businesses have provided products and services for the fundraiser. Along with supporting education, the event will provide opportunities for women-owned businesses. Food, decorations, and entertainment will be supplied by local female companies. That's just been kind of our vibe, empowering women and supporting youth opportunities in our community, Phillips said. The funds from the Power of the Purse event will stay within the United Way of Decatur and Mid-Illinois footprint, Phillips said. That is all the local five counties here in central Illinois, she added. All of the funds will help the local United Way programs, as well as the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. The shipping costs and the books provided by the book program are paid by the local United Way organization. That's what the money goes towards, so that we don't have to put any children on a waiting list for the books, Bogle said. Macon County has more than 4,000 children from birth to 5 years old who are registered to receive 12 books a year from the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. That's a lot of books, Bogle said. The book program's total cost is $15 per child per year for the United Way. The $60 event ticket will set up four children to receive the books throughout the year. We've been very intentional about how we did this, and we're supporting, Vogel said. We wanted to make sure we were investing into something that would be near and dear to women and important to them. The original plan for the event was to start small, offering only a few purses, the directors said. But with the interest and excitement, we had to add to our original idea, Phillips said. Each purse will have important information, including the brand, retail price, and starting bid on display. But the people that know designer bags, Phillips said. Macon County. Jim Root poised to stay sheriff. Opponent Beck waiting on early ballots. Incumbent leads write-in challenger. By Tony Reed, Decatur. It ain't over until it's over, but Tuesday's Republican primary election results left Macon County Sheriff Jim Root quietly confident he had retained custody of his job. With all 64 precincts counted just after 10 p.m., Root had received 4,674 votes out of 8,295 ballots cast in his race against Macon County deputy and challenger Shane Beck. This isn't the end of the election story, however, as the Macon County clerk had sent out 3,108 mail-in ballots and 1,689 had been received to be counted on Tuesday. Outstanding ballots postmarked within the election deadline will still be counted, and County Josh Tanner won't declare an absolute final result until the March 31st deadline has passed. Beck reached late Tuesday night, wasn't ready to concede. "We don't know if the early votes I have are counted in," he said. "We just don't know yet," he said of the election. Root, however, said it looked like the voters had made their choice, and it's him. "It appears that I probably will be the winner in this race," he told the Herald and Review. "I would say I am feeling pretty good about it right now." Beck's campaign had been hobbled early on when a numbering mistake on his nomination petitions led to his name being struck from the ballot, leaving him to soldier on as a write-in candidate. And no write-in candidate has ever prevailed in a contested Macon County election. Root had detected the signature mistake, and friends of his filed the formal complaint. Now, with no other challengers so far in sight for the general election, Root said he needs to finish the work of modernizing and improving the sheriff's office while shaping the next generation leadership team he wants to take it into the future. What role Beck will play isn't clear yet, but Root said he was willing to move on. "I'm a Christian, so I do have forgiveness for all the things his campaign has done, and I don't have an issue with it," he added. The two candidates had fought a hard battle, with Beck, 52, accusing his boss of being cold and distant and fostering poor morale. Root hit back, describing Beck, a deputy for 10 years, as completely unqualified to take a shot at the top job. Root, 57, with a 30-year history in the sheriff's office, had dismissed his rival as a disgruntled employee. The temperature rose further when Beck recently filed a federal lawsuit against Root, accusing him of violating his constitutional rights by shifting him out of favorable roles in the office and blocking promotions as punishment for daring to challenge him. For Root, a Marine veteran, establishing and keeping a political bridgehead to secure the sheriff's office has always involved political fights and skirmishes. He originally lost his opening 2018 race to then-rival Lieutenant Tony Brown, who was judged to have won by just one vote, 19,655 to 19,654. Brown got to be sheriff for 2 years, while Root, convinced he had been robbed of the job by ballot counting errors, contested the result in court. In June of 2021, a Champaign County judge sitting in Macon County Circuit Court examined the results of a hand recount and ruled that Root had actually been the winner by a margin of 16 votes. Brown then agreed to step aside, and Root was sworn in on June 21, 2021. In the June 2022 Republican primary, Root was challenged by former Decatur Police Department Detective Cody Moore, whom he beat handily with 75% of the vote. And then in July of 2022, former Decatur Police Department Lieutenant Shannon Gutierrez Seal was announced as the Democrat challenger to Root for the general election that year. But she had to withdraw a few days later when it was discovered she had taken a Republican ballot in the primary. Election law forbids a candidate from running on the Democrat ballot in the general election if they participated in the Republican primary. Miller to face Democrat Todd in Illinois' 15th congressional district. Illinois, Darren Bailey to challenge Pritzker again, by Rick Pearson, Chicago Tribune. Voters in Illinois' race for governor this fall will have a justifiable case of deja vu, as Darren Bailey, the Republican Party's unsuccessful 2022 nominee, will face off once again against two-term Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. The question, to be answered November 3rd, is whether the result this time also will be a case of deja vu. Bailey, a downstate farmer who was defeated by Pritzker by nearly 13 percentage points 4 years ago, defeated rivals Ted Dabrowski, James Mendick, and Rick Heidner in Tuesday night's GOP gubernatorial primary results. Unofficial totals with 95% of the expected vote counted showed Bailey winning with just under 54%, followed by Dabrowski's 29%, Mendrick 10%, and Heidner's 8%. All of Bailey's rivals contended the downstater's poor 2022 general election showing demonstrated his unelectability and argued it as a case for their own chance to vie against Pritzker. But Bailey, who ran an unusually quiet, non-controversial, and chastened campaign compared with his effort 4 years ago, was able to win renomination, based largely on name recognition and the low-dollar, stumble-filled campaigns of his opponents. For the general election, one factor that is different this time is a deepened Illinois opposition to President Donald Trump, particularly in light of last year's controversial and aggressive federal immigration raids, as well as sustained inflationary grocery costs and rising gas pump prices, as a result of joint U.S.-Israeli military strikes on Iran. Bailey actively sought and won Trump's endorsement for governor in his initial bid and was encouraged by the president to make a second run. But neither he or the other Republicans in the race, despite pledging fealty to Trump and support for his immigration actions, won a presidential endorsement. In speaking to supporters after being unopposed for renomination on the Democratic ballot, Pritzker made it clear he thinks he can meld a third-term candidacy while also pondering a potential 2028 White House bid by using Trump as a common campaign theme. Pritzker, a businessman and billionaire heir to the Hyatt Hotels fortune, who spent more than $350 million on his two previous runs for governor, referred to Trump on Tuesday as both the carnival barker-in-chief and the commander-in-thief, and noted that unlike other states, the seemingly unstoppable force of Trump's unrestrained power met the immovable object of Illinoisans' courage. Bailey wants to be the Donald Trump of Illinois, Pritzker continued. He wants to lower the minimum wage. He wants to take away a woman's right to choose. He wants to continue the Trump tariff on groceries. And his family still runs a school that uses a curriculum teaching that slavery wasn't wrong and that women in the workforce have been harmful to America, Pritzker told supporters, citing the Republicans' downstate Full Armor Christian Academy that he runs with his wife, Cindy. A charismatic evangelical Christian conservative from Xenia, Bailey downplayed the religious and conservative social beliefs, such as opposition to abortion, that had driven his previous campaign, but turned off voters in the key Chicago suburbs. There was also a sympathy factor for Bailey following the deaths of his son Zachary, daughter-in-law Kelsey, and grandchildren Veda Rose, 12, and Samuel, 7, in a helicopter accident in southeast Montana on October 22nd, shortly after he announced he would run again. Losing my son and his family, it changed me forever. It stripped away the noise, and it clarified what truly matters: faith, family, fighting for the people God places in your care. And that clarity is why this moment matters, Bailey told supporters at a victory party in Springfield. Illinois is hurting. Across this state, no matter where you live or who you voted for, people are feeling the same pressure. Families are working harder and falling further behind. Seniors are afraid to open their utility bills. Parents are wondering if their kids are going to be able to afford to stay in Illinois. Bailey continued upon a theme from 4 years ago that the wealthy Pritzker cannot relate to average voters in Illinois. Pritzker has been telling Illinois families that higher taxes and higher fees and higher costs are necessary. Necessary for who? Not for you and not for him. While families are being taxed out of their homes, he lives in multiple mansions, hides his fortunes in offshore bank accounts, and lectures working people about sacrifice, Bailey said. He raised fees, he let property taxes explode, and then he told working families to tighten their belts. Illinois is less affordable because of J.B. Pritzker. Bailey has blamed his first loss to Pritzker, in part, to residents in northern Illinois not understanding his rural downstate accent. To my friends in Chicago, I know I've got a southern accent. Some folks have said that I talk funny, he said. But from Carbondale to Wilmette, Quincy to Danville, one thing remains the same. Those bills in your mailbox, they don't care about anyone's accent. This is because this problem isn't regional, it's leadership. Bailey, who lost in 2024, lost a primary challenge to veteran U.S. Representative Mike Boast of Murfreesboro, mounted his second bid for governor with a mea culpa tour, apologizing for terming Chicago a hellhole in his initial run and saying he now had a better appreciation of the city's and suburban voters. Energy. Drivers see gas prices jump. By Wyatt Grantham Phillips, Associated Press, New York. The Iran war rattled the global flow of oil, with steeper fuel costs already straining households worldwide. In the U.S., drivers now face the highest prices they've seen at the pump in nearly 2.5 years. According to Motor Club AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline jumped over $3.84 on Wednesday, up from $2.98 consumers were paying before the U.S. and Israel launched the war with joint attacks against Iran on February 28th. The last time gas prices were as expensive as they are now was in September 2023. It's pretty hard. I mean, times are tough for everybody right now, Amanda Acosta, a Louisiana resident, said while filling up her car's tank this week. I'm getting way less gas and paying way more money. Pain at the pump was one of the most immediate economic effects of the conflict because the price of crude oil, the main ingredient in gasoline, soared and swung rapidly in recent weeks due to supply chain disruptions and cuts from major producers across the Middle East. Brent crude, the international standard, settled at more than $103 a barrel Tuesday, up from about $70 just weeks ago. Benchmark U.S. crude topped $96 a barrel. President Donald Trump, who once bragged about keeping gas prices low, since pivoted to try and paint high oil prices as a positive outcome for the U.S. Last week, Trump said because the U.S. is now the largest crude producer in the world, when oil prices go up, we make a lot of money. Companies that supply oil benefit from higher prices, but steeper costs pinch consumers' wallets. It could push up already stubborn inflation, at least in the short run, and potentially hammer the economy if steep costs drag on. Experts say that could apply more pressure on the Trump administration, particularly as affordability stays at the top of voters' minds. Drivers see effects of higher fuel prices. I just want all of it to end. I just want to get out of there, out of Iran, said Megan Admoli, a New Jersey resident who was among customers filling up Tuesday at a Multani station. While she said she can personally roll with the punches when it comes to gas prices, she knows a lot of others can't. Dan Bradley, a flatbed truck driver from Pennsylvania, said he's felt the rising prices for his work and personal vehicles. Beyond regular gasoline, the U.S. average for diesel topped $5 a gallon Tuesday per AAA, up from about $3.76 before the conflict started. "It sucks when you're filling up," Bradley said. "What are you going to do? Not get gas?" Meanwhile, Texas resident Clay Plant said rising oil costs is good for the economy of his town, Lubbock. He noted he sees more people working as drilling picks up. "It's kind of a good sign for us in West Texas," he said. "I look at it as my friends and family get to eat and they get to go to work." Search for more supply and uncertainty ahead. The U.S. is now a net exporter of oil, and other parts of the world that rely more heavily on fuel imports from the Middle East, notably Asia, saw more stark energy shocks amid the war. That doesn't mean America is immune to price spikes. Oil is a globally traded commodity, and most of what the U.S. produces is light, sweet crude. But refineries on the East and West Coasts are primarily designed to process heavier, sour product. As a result, the country also needs imports. Iran effectively halted nearly all tanker movement in the Strait of Hormuz, where roughly a fifth of the world's oil transits on a typical day. That's led to cuts from some major producers in the region, because their crude has nowhere to go. Trump demanded that other countries send warships to reopen the waterway, but had yet to garner sign-ons. Meanwhile, Iran, Israel, and the U.S. struck oil and gas facilities. Last week, the International Energy Agency pledged to release 400 million barrels of oil available from its member nations' stockpiles. Trump, who previously downplayed the need to tap into reserve oil, later confirmed the U.S. would pull 172 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as part of the effort. The administration also announced it will temporarily free up Russian oil from U.S. sanctions. Analysts saw these efforts as a short-term bridge. Refineries buy crude oil in advance, and it takes time for new supply to trickle down to consumers. While steep crude costs is the top driver of gas prices today, a handful of other factors also are on the table. U.S. gas prices typically tick up a bit at this time of year as more drivers hit the road and the warming weather brings a shift to a summer blend fuel, which is more expensive to make than winter blend. As always, some states also have pricier averages than others due to factors ranging from nearby supply to differing tax rates. On Tuesday, California had the highest average of over $5.54 per gallon, while Kansas had the lowest of about $3.21. Experts warn all of this could eat into wider spending. As consumers pay more to cover necessities like gas, many households, particularly those that are middle or low income, will be forced to cut their budgets in other places, said Francesco Diaconto, a finance professor at Georgetown University. More expensive fuel also affects other sectors, from transporting groceries to household utility bills. These combined inflation shocks and overall high uncertainty during war also makes many houses and consumers freeze, he added. He said that could cause some to hold off on bigger financial decisions, such as buying a car or house. So potentially, even that will have such an effect on the overall economy. Man accused of $18,000 watch theft. Police said he robbed another at gunpoint, by Tony Reed, Decatur. A 19-year-old Decatur defendant, whose alleged armed robbery of a wristwatch valued at more than $18,000 sparked a police siege of his home, appeared in court Monday. Jerrion A. Jarrett was arraigned on charges of armed robbery and aggravated robbery and was denied pretrial release by Macon County Circuit Court Judge Jack Kiley. The judge said he still posed a real and present threat to the public. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said patrol officers had rushed to the 300 block of West Grand Avenue at 3:41 p.m. March 13th after the 28-year-old watch owner called 911 and said he had just been accosted and robbed at gunpoint outside a convenience store. Describing how the robbery went down, the victim said he had seen three young men leave a residence in the 1200 block of North Edward Street and trail him as he made his way to the store. Two of the men surrounded him when he reached the store entrance, while the third stayed back watching. The victim said that both men pulled out black handguns with extended magazines. He said he believed both firearms were equipped with switches, which due to my training and experience, I know a switch to convert a semi-automatic pistol into fully automatic, said Officer Harry Vickers, who signed the affidavit. The victim said the two males pointed the firearms at him and demanded his Rolex Oyster Perpetual watch. He said the men stated something similar to, "If you don't give me the watch, I'll shoot you." The victim was able to provide a digital photograph of authenticity with a serial number for the watch, added Vickers. The victim was also able to give police precise details on where to start looking for the suspects who had just robbed him. He told officials he had watched all three run back to the residence they had come out of and go back inside. Vickers said police surrounded the house and gave repeated orders for anyone inside to come out. Jared eventually emerged, but there was no sign of the others. He was later identified by the victim as one of the robbers. After a judge signed off on a search warrant, Vickers said the watch was found tucked inside a tennis shoe in an upstairs room. The search for the other robbers continues, and Jared is due back in court for a preliminary hearing March 25th, when he will enter pleas to the charges against him. What's happening? Children's Museum to host Power of Play, Decatur. The Children's Museum of Illinois is inviting families to a guided art project, which will result in a community mural and interactive display. Families can attend one of three sessions, 9 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, March 21st, or April 4th, at the Children's Museum, 55 South Country Club Road, Decatur, and 10 to 11:30 a.m. Saturday, April 18th, at the Decatur Public Library, 130 North Franklin Street. During each session, families will create an art piece together, guided by local artist Phil Murillo. Families have the option to be included in a video highlighting play within their childhood and now. The ultimate goal of the project is to compile all art pieces into one large mural, which will travel around our community, stated Melanie Bilbrey Snively, Director of Education and Outreach with the Children's Museum of Illinois. The Healing Illinois Project is aimed at promoting racial healing within the community. For more information or to register for any session, visit cmofil.org, call 217-423-5437, or email mbilbreysnively@cmofil.org. We'll take a break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review dated Thursday, March 19th, 2026. Please stay tuned.